Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Making Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Sam.
Or happy Thanksgiving Eve. What do they call it? Isn't this Blackout Wednesday? Isn't that what the nickname
is? It is. It's it was Blackout Friday, and I don't know. They always say that this is the biggest bar night of the year.
Yes, because everybody is coming back from wherever they are. They're usually back home and so on. Except neither one of us has followed along with that at all, because you're not really where you grew up.
No.
You're in North Carolina, and I'm still in where I'm at. But so we're not necessarily, I mean, we might be participating in Blackout Friday in our own way, or Blackout Wednesday in our own way, but that's not because we're with college or high school or however friends goes along with that. But alas, how's the family down in North Carolina? Good?
Yeah, they're doing good. They're doing good over here. We just went and got some dinner. We've been here since Saturday. It's been a good time. Rory's my dog, her sister. Is from her actual litter is my sister's dog, so they've been able to play quite a bit. Grandma came down with us this year, so she's with us as well. We call her Nana. Nana's with us. So yeah, got the whole family. Meemaw and Papa will be there. Brenda and Charlie will be here tomorrow. So we'll have the whole crew together.
The whole shebang. Yeah, no, it'll be fun. Yeah. I'll be with my parents tomorrow as well. Before Sunday, Bengals taking on the Steelers, which we will discuss as the show goes along today. But beforehand, we do have to hit a couple of the news headlines as well. We're going to have to do some talk to about what we're going to do from here. And what we mean by that is that the Cincinnati Bengals team has had its obvious issues this season.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? And that, to me, Mick, is a two-part question. The first part is, okay, we still have games left in this season. Where do we go from there? You know, you've still, I mean, listen, I don't even want to mention the P word playoffs, but until there is a zero and an E by your name, there is technically still a path to the playoffs. Obviously, that window keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, but it's still there. So we can talk about that. And then also some things already in looking ahead to the offseason, because those are discussions that will need to be had, and we will be having ad nauseum over these next couple of weeks as well. But we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're also on Twitter. I refuse to call it X, Mick. One of these days, maybe I'll jump on that board, but until then, I refuse. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure to give us a 5-star rating there and follow us along that way. We spent quite a bit of time last week, Mick, talking about the potential, and we didn't really think there was any potential, of the Bengals getting flexed out of their game on Thursday Night Football against the Browns. Not so fast, my friend. The Browns-Bengals game is now Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Of that week.
I'm happy about it. I'm not mad.
I am. I'm very disappointed.
You're mad from the stance of, well, you know, we haven't had a divisional primetime game at home since 2020 against the Steelers, which wasn't a real divisional primetime game because we didn't have enough people there, or, you know, it was during the COVID season, so not a lot of people were there. So really the last true one was what, 2018 against the Ravens, Thursday Night Football week two. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from there, but also I'm happy as a fan that actually goes to the games that it's on Sunday at 1 o'clock and then it's not a primetime game. I don't have to take PTO the next day or whatever to, because I went to the game and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm not too mad about it.
What I'm the maddest about is, for one, I'm disappointed because now the Bengals' two themed games, which they've become famous for, you know, their whiteout game, was going to be that late afternoon window. It was going to look really cool, at least part of it under the lights. Nope, the NFL says no. Then the second one, Stripe the Jungle. We were really excited about that. Not so fast. No, 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 you can't have that either. We're going to take that away from you. But, Mick, here's the stat for you today. And this honestly is the biggest load of BS in the NFL today, and we need to fix this. And we're going to talk more about this coming May. You mentioned it. The last time the Bengals had a true home primetime game against an AFC North opponent, if you take 2020 out, was in 2018 against the Ravens. Since that point, and throwing the 2020 season out for everyone, the Browns have hosted 5 divisional AFC North games. The Steelers have hosted 5, and the Ravens have hosted 6. The Bengals have hosted 0. That is the biggest load of BS in the NFL right now, and that has to fix, because correct me if I'm wrong, Mick, who's the one team in that stretch to make the Super Bowl?
Oh, we are.
It drives me crazy.
Here's my thing, and I don't want to give the league, I don't want to give the league any excuses there, but maybe you know, Mike Brown has had this reputation amongst league owners that he's just going to vote no on every single issue that comes up. He's going to be difficult. He's not like the other owners in the league. They all hate him. He's in terms of wicked terms, because I just watched Wicked yesterday. It was pretty good. He's like the alpha buck of NFL owners, except like he doesn't have a lot going for him, whereas alpha buck, I think, has a lot going for him. He doesn't have a lot going for him. He's the poorest NFL owner in the league by a wide margin. He votes no on everything, especially measures that help him more than they help other teams. It just seems to be a thorn in the side of the commissioner of the NFL and whoever. So maybe just become more likable to your constituents, Mike Brown, and maybe you'll get some home divisional primetime games.
That shouldn't be a reason, though.
Well, probably is.
And I mean, like we mentioned it too, that the AFC North, a team has not won a road Thursday night football game in the AFC North since 2015. And the Bengals lose that opportunity to have a potential win. Now, I understand it. You know, Bengals-Browns to us means a lot. It's the Battle of Ohio. It's Bengals-Browns. But to the random, I don't know, Seahawks fan, they don't care about that game whatsoever, and they're probably saying, thank goodness we don't have to put ourselves through watching a game like that. And yeah, I understand that. But next season, if the Bengals are headed to Baltimore again on a primetime game, and there is not, I might drive and smack Roger Goodell across the face.
Yeah.
That's 3 straight years the Bengals have had to go and go play Baltimore, at Baltimore. Yeah. On a primetime game, Sunday night football and twice on Thursday night. There is no reason that the Bengals should not get some of these reciprocated, especially because if we're being honest, you know, we mentioned that the whiteout thing, the, you know, you have the Stripe the Jungle. The Bengals have kind of grown a reputation for some of these cool primetime environments. They've had big games at home. You know, they've had the Bills at home twice. I mean, well, once in a quarter, 1.25 a year. Had a Commanders game, had a Rams game, and so on. It just it needs to fix, and it's Thanksgiving, so I don't need to get too. I'm not thankful for that. How's that sound?
No, I'm kind of thankful for it. I'd much rather go to a game at 1 p.m. on a Sunday than go to a primetime Thursday night game.
I don't know. We might just have to agree to disagree. I just love the primetime games. There's something to it. There's the extra juice. And I also really hate it. And then we can move on. We don't need to dwell on it. is for the fan. Like, we're lucky enough, you especially. I mean, it takes you what, 10 minutes to drive to Paycor Stadium?
Yes.
Let's just say there's traffic, so 20. We'll just say that, you know, there's traffic, so it takes 20 minutes to drive to Paycor Stadium. For me, you know, it's about 2.5 hours, which is doable to do in a day. I feel bad for like our good friend Josh Isles, who lives in Florida, and I think he was planning on flying up, and now he's not going to be able to do that because it is not easy to change for fans a flight around and a hotel around a month away.
No, and also you're kind of stuck footing the bill on the flight too, which kind of sucks. So, I mean, I get that.
Yeah, and it also stinks for the fans that may have bought those primetime tickets because primetime costs more than 1 o'clock on a Sunday. That's just a fact. And I get that that's life. You know, life sucks sometimes, but okay. Okay, I've gotten my, I feel better now.
You're done with your rant.
Probably not. I might come back to it at some point. But the other big news of the week, and this was like, I wish I had a breaking news sounder, Mick. Can we play this as breaking news sounder? Does that work? Yeah, the ping pong tables are back.
You might want to LLC our company here, our podcast here, before we...
Why would we want to LLC our podcast?
Well, so they don't go come for us personally.
Oh.
We're using their chime.
Oh, yeah. Well, free use is what we'll claim for that. Free use.
Okay.
The ping pong tables have returned, though, Mick, in the Bengals locker room. And it blew up social media yesterday. And I don't really know why.
I don't know. I don't know why. Why did they get rid of the ping pong tables to begin with?
My assumption is that when they did the locker room renovation, that it was just one of those things that never did get added back. Whether it's space, whether it's this, whether it's that. But at the same time, I also... The fans, and I hope a lot of this is like trying to make fun of a situation or play with it a little bit, but the fans who get angry about the guys playing ping pong in the locker room need to grow up. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they should be studying a film, or they should be...
Yeah, I bet those same people are playing solitaire on their computers when their boss isn't working in their offices, or...
Or taking a 30-minute dump in the bathroom as well.
Don't talk about that. I need my...
Do you know anyone that does that?
I need my alone time while I work, Sam.
Is that when you do your fantasy football lineups?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's when I either look at my fantasy football lineups or it's when I'm gambling on sports. That's
it's just like, you know, our good friend Riley. We know that when he is because we're all of a sudden getting sent a bunch of Facebook reels. That's how we know, because Riley...
He doesn't do that in the restroom. He just does that while he's working.
He just calls that a day that ends in Y. But I think the ping pong table's the biggest thing with it, and why they're doing it is it builds camaraderie.
Yeah. No, I mean, it builds camaraderie. It's a good way to kind of let loose, you know, after having a day of practice, watching some film, being business, you know, all business all day. I don't know why they got rid of the ping pong tables. You know, people have been speculating that the locker room has been, you know, in malcontent or in discontent because of these whole contract situations with Trey Hendrickson and Ja'Marr Chase. And maybe it was just as simple as, oh, hey, our ping pong tables are gone. Tables that we love so much are gone.
Wouldn't you love, though, just to be able to sit there and watch like two NFL guys go at it playing ping pong?
I don't really know.
No? See, I'd be entertained. Like, I want to know who the best ping pong player on the team is. At one point, I know it was Trent Taylor, right? Wasn't that his name?
Trent Taylor? Okay.
Punt returner, the backflip guy.
Backflip guy.
Trent Taylor. Louisiana Tech. He at one point, I know, was like running the ping pong if they had like a top of the mountain or something, but alas. So the ping pong tables are back, flexed out. That's really the major news headlines. The rest are injuries, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. With that, Walt says, I don't believe a $1 billion dome would help much either. Yeah, no, I don't think a $1 billion dome would help whatsoever, and nor do I want a $1 billion dome. If they were going to build a dome, they should have done it 30 years ago when they built the stadium to begin with. We talked for a while last week the majority of our show last week was spent discussing the blame for how this season has gone for the Bengals being 4-7. And we talked about Zach Taylor. We talked about Lou Anarumo. We talked about Duke Tobin. We talked about Joe Burrow. You know, we talked about Evan McPherson. We mentioned all of the different ways. So what I want to kind of jump into now before we talk about the game on Sunday is, where do we go from here now? We've mentioned the problems. And I think it has to start with this season right now because, and I know people don't hear this, it's not. It's not. I mean, you look at it. Bengals went out. They're 10-7. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mick. Last time they went 10-7 in the regular season, how did it end up?
Not on top.
But they were close. They were second. Close. Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl. Now, I know different seasons and so on. They won the division that year, so they got to host playoff games and so on. But like we've talked about so much, you just have to get in. Because if you are the 2 seed, if you are the 2 seed Bills or the 2 seed Ravens, or maybe even the 2 seed Texans or Chiefs, one of those 4 teams, and you're hosting a first round playoff game and you look across the sideline and that's Joe Burrow, you don't want any part of that. Any part of playing Joe Burrow come playoff time. Now, at the same time, he's probably looking at the other part of the Bengals sideline and seeing that defense and probably saying, okay, I can go against this defense all day.
Yeah.
But this season, how do you fix it?
I don't know if you can fix it this season. I mean, really, I mean, so say if they lose against the Steelers and this season's pretty much over. I mean, then you need to start getting player evaluations on players that you think could have, or they have the potential to maybe be long-term assets on this team. So you're playing Miles Murphy a little bit more than you've had in previous games. You're playing McKinley Jackson more, which, I mean, I think McKinley Jackson's had a decent amount of snaps already. You're playing guys like Josh Newton more. You're playing I'm losing my train of thought already.
DJ Ivy, Chris Jenkins.
That's another big one. So I mean, you really need to start getting player evals.
Jermaine Burton,
which they're starting to sprinkle him in.
Charlie Jones, you know, some of these guys.
Maybe Tanner McLaughlin, a tight end, a little bit too.
Cam Grandy,
offensive line. practice squad body. But yeah,
He's on the active roster now. Cam Grandy's now on the active roster. So
yeah, he's a practice squad body that benefited from an injury from Eric All. Anyways, yeah, I think if they lose, this game against the Steelers, I mean, yeah, you are getting player evaluations on players that you might think could be on the team or, you know, make meaningful contributions in future seasons. And that's pretty much the only thing you can do. They're not going to tank with Joe Burrow on the field. They didn't tank when Jake Browning was on the field last year and I know they made the playoff push last year, but I don't think any of us thought they were going to make it anywhere past the wild card round, probably in the playoffs if they did make it last year. So they're not going to tank with Joe Burrow on the field, but then if you're not going to tank and try to get a high draft pick, then you need to put some of these guys in and see what they can do. We thought Jermaine Burton, for example, was going to be a long-term, you know, wide receiver 3 at the very least for this team for the next 3 or 4 years, and we're not even sure of that. So you're going to have to get him some more snaps on the field to see if he can be that. But yeah, I mean, that's not really fixing it this year, but you got to start somewhere. You can't really jump into off season until mid February. So yeah, I mean, that's really all you can do right now.
There's a lot of decisions that will need to be made about this team. And that's where you're looking as to how much faith, like you said, you have in those younger guys. Because another guy that I think this is a really important 6-game stretch for a guy like Cam Taylor-Britt, who has had a terrible season. Terrible, right word?
Pretty bad. Really bad.
Not great. Very, very disappointing season when he had very high hopes, to the point where some idiot even predicted him to potentially be an all-pro corner and have 8 interceptions. I don't know who. I don't know who would have potentially had a take like that, but you want to see
nobody on this podcast had this.
No, time. No. Just like nobody on our podcast thought Jermaine Burton would be a Rookie of the Year candidate. And nobody on this podcast thought that the Ravens were washed up last year or thought Derrick Henry was going to hit father time this year. We're killing it. We each have just great takes.
I think we should quit. You want to just let's just quit the show right now.
I guess we've had some.
Here's my thing. There are national media people out there that have made careers off of having shit takes. Like, literally, that's all Skip Bayless's job is to be. Well, I don't even know if he's employed anymore, but his job for the longest of time was to just be a walking meme.
I don't love that you're comparing us to Skip Bayless, though.
I'm just saying, like, we might just need to start screaming, shouting. Sam and Steve call it the shouty shows on Check the Mic. I think we need to just start doing that.
We at least, and I was talking with somebody about this. There are Bengals podcasts out there, and I'm not out here to start throwing beef at other people, and I'm not trying to create, we don't need rivalries on this, where it's just like, let me say something outlandish, and then I'm going to take it, and I'm going to post a reel, and I know people are going to get fired up about it, and they're going to start sharing it because I'm saying something outlandish.
I'm going to start pulling a Bart Scott. We need to start all publicity. Is good publicity, Sam.
I don't like that the shock jock style. But again, okay, we're steering off topic, so we can bring us back on here. This season, though, those younger guys. You mentioned a guy like Miles Murphy, and to me, he is the epitome of this. Yes, you look at Sam Hubbard and him have been kind of in that same realm, and you've always thought Miles Murphy is going to be the replacement for Sam Hubbard at some point. You look ahead to the offseason, Sam Hubbard has a contract out for the most part. You know, I mean, it is a decision that the Bengals are probably going to make. It is going to be a hard decision because Sam Hubbard, Cincinnati kid, you know, he's done great things, team captain, you know, and so on. But it is a decision that the Bengals are going to have to make to save, what is it, $7 million or something? I think it's $8.5 million and $1 million in debt or something in the realm of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to see right now, though, is Miles Murphy going to be a guy, or is that something that we're really going to have to put some focus on in the offseason and doing even more, which I think they're going to have to anyways, but it's just as to on the priority list, how high is it?
I mean, it's going to be high on the priority list no matter what. I mean, I guess if it's a difference of priority between priority number one or priority number two at this point, because
but when you're talking about a first round pick, that could be the difference between a first round pick or a second round pick.
It definitely could be, because even if Miles Murphy does end up being a guy that could be reliable and a really good edge rusher in the league, I mean, I don't think it's any secret that Trey Hendrickson will not be here at least past 2025. He might not even be here in 2025, given the state of his contract and how underpaid he is. I mean, there's no way Trey is going to play on this contract this year, and there's no way the Bengals are going to extend him. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking there's a very good chance Trey is not on this team in 2025. And if that's the case, then that is priority number one, that you need to get an edge rusher either through free agency or through the draft. And here's the thing. I mean, they have a lot of contractual outs that they can do to start adding on to that cap space. I mean, right now, and over the cap for 2025, they are sitting at about a $65 million in cap space. I think that's top 10 in the league. But you look at some of these contracts. You got Sheldon Rankins. You can shave off $9 million in $9.5 million in cap by cutting him. And I think that's probably, he's probably gone, if I had to guess. Same with Sam Hubbard. I mean, between those two, that's almost $20 million in cap. And then you're starting to look at other guys like Geno Stone, who's been a disappointment. There's a lot of players like these where they could probably free up another $30 million in cap. And you can either find an edge rusher in this free agency class, which it's not a great free agency class by any means.
But the draft is a pretty decent edge rusher draft. I mean, you got like James Pierce
Jr. You've got Nick Scorton from Texas A&M. You've got
the guy from Penn State.
You've Carter from Penn State.
You have Mike got Green the opportunity.
Marshall, buddy. Mike Green's shooting up draft boards right now.
We want actual football players on the Bengals.
He's leading FBS in sacks. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, let's see him play. But I mean, the defensive line is going to be something. This kind of move us into the offseason is you know, when we're talking about listing the positions, and let's just go top three positions the Bengals need to fix in the offseason right now. And I think let's just put defensive line. We'll just combine those two because I think you could easily say edge rusher
and three tech are pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, we'll just say defensive line. How's that sound? And I think we can both agree that's number one, right? And then number two, secondary. Yeah.
I go wide receiver.
And I was going to put that as number three.
No, I'll put wide receiver as number two because T's gone. We don't have any viable options. I mean, I don't care how much of a fan you are of Andre Yoshivash or Trenton Irwin, and we still don't know about Jermaine Burton. I'm hoping we kind of find out more about him and what his status is going to be in the next 6 weeks. But yeah, wide receivers, I think a top priority. I think it's between that and edge rusher pretty much for number one priority. I would honestly maybe go wide receiver just because
that's the Bengals. That's the Bengals team.
That is what the team is. It's been the MO. Joe Burrow is magic with really good wide receivers on the team. And then number three, I would go nickel back because we don't know if Mike Hilton's going to be brought back this next offseason. He's in the final year of his deal. He's getting a little bit older. I think he's approaching the age of 30, if I remember correctly.
I think he is 30 this year. I think so.
I don't think the Bengals are going to want to extend him potentially. So that's another thing to kind of look at is a nickelback. And there's a couple of good guys in the draft that do that. I'm thinking of guys like Jadae Barron from Texas, who they could probably get in the second or the third round. And also Sebastian Castro out of Iowa. Is another guy. So those are the top three priorities, at least for me, are wide receiver, edge rusher / three tech, defensive tackle, and nickelback. And also a nose tackle's in there somewhere.
Yeah, because I think when you look at this, the positions that you're fine at looking ahead to next season, quarterback, you're fine. You got that.
Offensive tackle, you're good.
But what you will have to keep an eye on, though, is the backup quarterback position. Because Jake Browning, that deal's up, and he's not going to cost $800,000 anymore. You know.
Do you know who will? The guy that just started for the San Francisco 49ers this past week. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they bring back Brandon Allen in that aspect. But that's still not something that they're going to put that much thought into. Running back is an interesting one. It's an interesting one on how they do it. And I really think we should just take that and throw it to the offseason because there's a lot to unpack. We could almost do an entire show on the running back position for the Cincinnati Bengals because there's a lot of different ways that they could go with this, you know, with Zach Moss, with Chase Brown, with Travion Williams, you know, like what you're going to do with some of those guys. You've got technically Chris Evans. He still exists. Theoretically, he does. How they handle that. Tight end. You're in good shape when it comes to tight end. You've drafted, you've put a lot of guys in there. You're hoping that those guys continue to
double dipped in the draft for that. Yes. And I mean, so now, you at least have two guys that you have three guys that you're carrying over into the next year because they extended Drew Sample to a third year. So, I mean, that's not as urgent of a need. Offensive tackle, you're good.
But you probably will want to get somebody else in there so that Cody Ford isn't playing left tackle at some point if somebody gets hurt.
I mean, I think the difference between a fifth-round offensive tackle and Cody Ford is probably not very
important. And that's kind of what I was thinking is you know, your early day three guy, because the Bengals have done such a phenomenal job drafting day three offensive tackles.
Yeah. Now, interior line, they don't have anybody locked up past 2025, I believe. Oh, I guess Ted might be locked up until 2020 through 2026 now. But Alex Kappa's out after 2025, and Cordell Volson is out after 2025. So you're going to have to look at a changing of the guard there eventually.
See what you did there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, that's essentially what it is. And then you move over to the defensive side of the ball. Your edge rusher situation is dire right now. I think it's in dire straits. right now, it's really it's not great, especially if Trey holds out, which I would, if I were Trey, I would do, just because you're being massively underpaid for what you've been putting, what you've done on the football field for the past couple of years. Three tech, I don't know. I don't think Sheldon Rankins is the answer. You're hoping Chris Jenkins can be the answer.
BJ Hill's getting up there too. Like, he's had a good season.
BJ Hill's not on the team after this year.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure he's a free agent. I'm like 99. I have it pulled up.
I was going to say BJ Hill.
BJ Hill is a free agent.
Okay. Yes. He is a free agent. Okay. So then you're not going to have him on there, but those are the discussion points to have. I mean, you look at linebacker. You're set there. I think you'll bring back too a guy like Akeem Davis Gaither. He's had a really solid season as kind of that linebacker three for the Bengals.
He might have priced himself out after making a few plays this season, which I'm hoping he didn't. But
yeah, and then you've got the secondary, which we've mentioned as all. Taking a step back from that and going to the leadership positions, and we can start with Zach Taylor. I know I read a stat earlier this afternoon that somebody had posted. It was an analytic look at play calling in the NFL and like, who are the best play callers? And Zach Taylor was number one.
Really?
Yes. I can't remember exactly who had put it together. And it's a little misleading because the worst play caller in the NFL was Shane Steichen. And the second worst was Dave Canales. It's like, well, Dave Canales doesn't have anybody. Like, he got?
Yeah.
What's he got? Which shows you that when you got talent, you can, that play calling thing is not.
Yeah, well, when you have a guy, when you have a guy like Burrow who's manning the quarterback position and understands and is in sync with you every step of the way on how to execute something, that definitely helps quite a bit. I mean, that's interesting to point out. Did the guy that put out the analytics see the fourth down screen call against the Eagles?
But I think that also says that, you know, that he's had some bad moments in there, but he's also had a lot of really good and so on. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, here's the fact. I think unless the Bengals just, like, completely tank. Hooday, Lisa. Hooday from Chicago.
Hey,
hope you have a safe. Hope you have a safe trip. Unless the Bengals just completely tank. And Joe Burrow goes into Mike Brown's office and says, Zach Taylor guy. Zach Taylor's going to be back next season.
Yeah, the only way he's out is if Joe Burrow says, we can't do this.
Yes.
Yeah, we need somebody else in here. I mean, that's pretty much the only way I think that...
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Zach Taylor's out.
The one that is interesting is, and I'll ask you this, Mick, is Lou Anarumo back next year?
I don't think he's back.
I don't think he can be, can he?
I mean, you're going to have to find a scapegoat for the season or else fans are going to they're going to be pretty pissed off. You're going to have to find a scapegoat. I think Lou's defense might be too complex for maybe if for players, especially young players, to maybe grasp onto it. And I kind of feel bad for Lou, too, because I feel like we just haven't. I don't know if we have an issue with scouting or whatnot, but we've tried to replace established starters on this team with rookies, with high draft picks. And I don't know if it's more on a developmental thing. And I know I was more on the Lou didn't develop these guys train, but you know, we also got to think we have the thinnest scouting department in the NFL. The Bengals do. They have the three full-time scouts, whereas teams usually have what, 7 or 8 scouts, I think. So you know, there's like no, there's people say, you know, that they deal with the problem of having too many cooks in the kitchen. The Bengals have like no cooks in the kitchen, like whatsoever.
But you know what Duke Tobin says, right? It's not about how many voices that you have. It's about the right voices that you have.
Yeah. And the right voices, quotation marks there. You went and got Dax Hill, who, you know, he was supposed to be a replacement for Jesse Bates, and that was a massive fail. Massive fail. Now he's really good. I think he's decent as a corner, as an outside cornerback, which is good. Who else did you try to replace this offseason?
Miles Murphy.
You tried Miles Murphy out in the first round, which, you know, we all thought was a good pick, and we thought it was a building for the future pick, but, you know, he hasn't been able to do anything. You tried to replace your nose tackle with a guy that was that had a 5th or 6th round draft grade by most of the people on the consensus board that you had to reach for in the 3rd round because you just didn't have anybody to. Oh boy, the okay. Sorry, I was too busy being distracted by Riley.
They want your dad,
huh?
They want Dave Nelson. The people want Dave Nelson on the pod.
Nobody wants that. Riley's not.
Yes.
Riley's in the wrong. But, yeah, you kind of feel for Lou because are you not giving Lou the guides that he needs to pull this scheme off? But also then you got to kind of blame Lou a little bit for not adjusting his scheme for these younger players to maybe grasp onto it. So I don't know.
My thing with Lou is that he came to the Bengals with his background specifically in what position of the defense?
Secondary. We have not seen CTB. We've seen CTB regress.
Yeah, majorly. You never really. I mean,
Dax Hill and DJ Turner improve.
Yes, but it is kind of one of those things. That's how you're judged as a coach. And like we said, it is going to have to be a scapegoat. They're just going to have to let somebody go, and Lou's probably going to have to fall on the sword. Because it's even one of these things that it's not necessarily an indictment on Lou Anarumo. It's more just the fact of is sometimes you just need a new voice, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Also, he made the god awful player personnel decision to bench Jordan Battle after having a top 10 safety season last year.
And I mean, there are a lot of options too that you can go for defensive coordinator. I mean, to me, what would thrill me, and I don't think it happens. But can you imagine to Bengals fans if they call if they announce on January the 15th, we'll just say that, that new Bengals defensive coordinator Robert Saleh?
Not happening. No.
But as I know, Paul Maynard Jr. made a really good point on the Growler, though. If you were a defensive coordinator, wouldn't you want to come to Cincinnati? When you look across the sideline and you're like, you're telling me I can give up 30 points and still win a lot of games? Sure.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you're looking at the roster that it is right now, and you're seeing, wow, this defense is almost completely void of talent right now. You have, yeah, it's I don't know. I think there are a lot of good options out there. I'm hoping they don't try to go with anybody in house. I'm hoping they gut the defensive staff completely if they're gonna fire Lou. I don't think replacing Lou with James Betcher or however you pronounce his name is gonna do any good.
The other one that was interesting that somebody brought up on the Growler podcast, and I think it was Mo brought it up, was Robert Livingston. Now, you may remember Robert Livingston was the Bengals safety coach, and he was one of the lone holdovers for Zach Taylor from the Marvin staff. He left this past offseason, and do you remember where he went to, Mick?
No.
He's the defensive coordinator at Colorado. Who is?
I thought it was Warren Sapp, or is he co-defensive coordinating with Warren? Well, Sapp?
Robert Livingston is the main defensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. Warren Sapp might have a position on that staff, but Robert Livingston is the main dude when it comes to that. But that's an interesting one as well. Would he come back? But I think you're right. It needs to be somebody that has really. And I just use the name Robert Saleh as an example. That would be a perfect guy because he has no Bengals connection whatsoever. Like, we don't need Vance Joseph just because he coached for the Bengals.
No, I mean, you need a guy that can be the head coach of the defense, essentially. I mean, that is what you need 100%. You need like one of those Wade Phillips types of guys. What if they go out and get Rex Ryan? That'd be cool. I'd sign up for that. I swear I thought that
he is the senior quality control analyst for Colorado.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't know why. I swear I've seen like two or three college football broadcasts where they've said that Warren Sapp's the D coordinator. But so Robert Livingston left and he's okay, whatever. But
still, that's at least a name of a connection that possibly and so on. And listen, when the news happens, we'll probably on the pod do a defensive coordinator big board, or you know, we'll talk about the guys that we're looking at once we know, because when you have Black Monday, so many options come up of fired former head coaches. But I think what would be perfect, and I think what Zach Taylor needs to find, is he needs to find his Spags.
Yes, he needs to.
Former head coach, ideally. Now, it doesn't have to be. But a guy that pretty much Zach Taylor says, I don't want to think about defense.
Yeah.
You are in charge of that. If you need me, come talk to me. And listen, hey, maybe you call up Spags and say how much it'll take.
Yeah.
What money will it take?
How much you want to bet we're going to have people clamoring for Mike Zimmer to come back to be the defensive coordinator?
Because he's had a phenomenal season with the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, his roster is completely gutted right now because of injury.
It is.
So I don't
Riley
know.
Riley says Vrabel
for coordinator position.
I think Vrabel's only going to be a head coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's kind of enough for this discussion for right now. Did you have anything else that you wanted to hit on, or should we just save that?
No, we're going to have long discussions about this and probably mid-January, if I had to guess. So even though the season's not over, hello, Jungle Joe's on.
Yeah.
Hello, Jungle Joe. We need to get him on one of these days. We need to get him on the show. Too good of a guy.
Let's jump into Sunday here. Jump into Sunday here. Bengals take on the city near West Virginia. Looking at injury report, because there's some interesting names on this. Logan Wilson and Sheldon Rankins both did not practice today. Logan Wilson is dealing with a knee injury. He's not practiced these last couple of days. That is something to keep an eye on. Sheldon Rankins has clearly got the worst illness in the history of the NFL. Well, not really. I mean, that's an exaggeration. But he is still dealing with a viral illness that kept him out of the Chargers game. So it's something viral. So he's not been back to practice yet, and I know Zach Taylor said day-to-day. But if you would imagine that if he is still sick, yeah, for sure, Joe, we'll have to talk maybe off-season. I think it'd be good. I'm sure you got plenty of takes come the off-season. But you'd have to wonder if he's able to play, how many snaps he'd even have in him if he's had a viral infection, because that's usually where you're losing weight and everything with that. I don't know that you can expect him to have – I mean – not that you were really expecting him to have any impact anyways on Sunday, even healthy. Sheldon Rankins, you probably don't have any impact at all from him. Gilbachi, Orlando Brown Jr., T. Higgins, B.J. Hill, Charlie Jones, and Amarius Mims were all limited.
That's good news.
Now, a couple of those, like T. Higgins was limited, and Zach Taylor pretty much said, yeah, he's pretty much going to be limited because we don't need him. We don't need him having any more muscle injuries. So he's pretty much just going to be doing his own thing at practice, and we're going to see him on Sundays.
Which I think is the right decision. On
Friday. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No walking in walkthroughs, Teague. You are in a wheelchair, or you're in the Mike
power
Brown
chair.
Cart. You're in the Mike Brown cart.
I think give him one of those power chairs with some like airbags on the side or something. Like
Professor X chairs?
Or a hoverboard. Yeah. You know, like we can figure that out.
There's too many injuries that happened on hoverboard.
No. I'm not saying like the Segway hoverboard. I'm talking like an actual like Back to the Future kind of hoverboard
just
where he's
Skype him and just zoom him. Yeah. Just put him on Zoom. Like
FaceTime.
Walkthroughs.
Like, come on, we're doing this. For the Steelers, they only had one did not practice. That really matters because the rest of their did not practices were all listed because of rest. Alex Highsmith did not practice today. Now that's. Yep.
Big
that's,
name. He's,
that's
he's
a big
been
name.
Kind of on and off the field this season, it feels like.
That is their – now, they've had other guys step up, but that's still their second-best pass rusher.
Yeah, usually that's a problem unless if you have Nate Herbig just waiting in the wings, just ready to go, which
– So, like, you'll see the headline that Cam Hayward didn't practice today. It's listed as a rest designation, so which means that Cam Hayward's old. They're giving him a day off. Is pretty much what.
Tell you what, we'll get in the preview here. But that dude's earned a day off. That dude's earned a day off this season.
Let's start with their offense. Russell Wilson, he's closer to what we saw in Seattle. Obviously, Denver, it was hard for him to be, you know, it was easy for him to be better than what he was in Denver because he was not good, really, in Denver at all. 63% completion percentage, only 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's really turning into more of, do we classify him as a game manager?
He's back to 2012 Russ. Game managing rookie season Russ, except no mobility this time around. So, yeah, I mean, I think Russ is playing pretty good. I think this is his best graded season since he was like an MVP candidate in Seattle in 2021. I think that Russ has played pretty well in the season. I remember you and I were both of the same opinion that why in the hell are you sitting Justin Fields for Russell Wilson when Justin Fields has played pretty good at the quarterback position and then offers that, you know, that whole completely different dynamic rushing ability that Russ just does not have anymore. But Russ has came in and is, you know, ran the offense quite well since being thrusted into starting action, you know, about a month and a half ago. I don't know. It's the offense has looked decent for him so far.
You've got George Pickens, who's having a George Pickens season, but they still, I mean, their number two is Freiermuth, probably what you would classify it as. And then your number three is probably Darnell Washington. You might even say 2 and 3, but they're still really looking
Caleb
for that wide receiver two, because I mean, they traded for 30-year-old Mike Williams, who has had one catch now, albeit it was a big catch.
Touchdown.
It was. Calvin Austin, that's probably where, if you're the Bengals, you're at least thinking, okay, like our secondary at least matches up somewhat decently against a Steelers wide receiver attack that is not really great. But then also you're maybe going to be without Logan Wilson, which could be an aspect to discuss as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Najee Harris, I guess he's another kind of guy to talk about on the offensive side of the ball. I think he's had
his best season.
I think he's had his best season. The box score numbers, I think, look about the same, but I think Najee's just kind of looked more explosive this season. 26.2% of his yards are breakaway yards, which is the highest percentage of his career, kind of continuing that trend from last season. 78.9 elusive rating from PFF. That's by far the highest of his career and ranks 15th in the NFL. I think he's kind of looked more like the running back that they drafted back in 2021 in the first round. I mean, that's pretty much it for the offensive side of the ball, or the guys we just mentioned.
The offensive line is
about the same as ours, I would say.
You
have guys who drafted early that have not panned out. Broderick Jones has not panned out for them. He's the offensive tackle out of Georgia that they traded up for. Dan Moore Singer's actually had a better year than he did last season. He's been playing okay this year.
Zach Frazier, their pick too.
Pretty good.
He'll be
a long-term starter for them over in Pittsburgh.
Now we can switch sides and talk about the defense, which is where you have to talk about with the Steelers team. They're interesting though when you're just looking at them purely statistically wise. So when we talk about PFF, I know you love PFF, Mick. Third overall rated defense. Now that's just the fact of it. Seventh against the run, coverage middle of the road, pass rush though grade wise leads the NFL. But what's interesting is they only have 25 sacks, which is only six more than the Bengals, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to look at the total time to throw stats and see, like,
teams are just getting it out quick.
Yeah, it's like the Myles Garrett effect just for the whole pass rush, right? You know, Myles Garrett's always been this guy that just completely wrecks offensive lines, but the quarterback's just always getting the ball out in less than 2.5 seconds or less than 2 seconds because Myles Garrett is just a dominating presence. And I think that might just be what the Steelers pass rush is at this point. I guess we'll go ahead and talk about some guys here. TJ Watt.
Who?
The guy, TJ Watt, that guy, you know, the guy that caught an interception on a batted pass. Something I've never seen before. That play he had in 2022 was absolutely incredible. Anyways, it's a weird campaign for TJ Watt, I think, and I don't get why the grading's really high on him. He's graded as like the sixth best pass rusher amongst edge rushers, but he ranks 81st in PRP rate, which is a PFF stat where it kind of takes your sacks, your pressures, and your QB hits in relation to the total amount of pass rushes you have in the season and kind of calculates a rate of success there. But he ranks 81st amongst pass rushers in that department. And then in pass rush win rate, has a 13.5% pass rush win rate, which is 34th in the league. How do those numbers equate to number six in edge rushers and pass rush grade? I don't understand. And I know that the grade is different where it's more of an eye test than it is a...
And a lot of what he does is against the run, too.
Yeah, he is a good run defender. He's a really good run defender. He's always been a really good run defender, which I agree with that. Cam Hayward, guy that, or like I said, earned his day of rest. This guy's graded absolutely insane, and it's even more insane considering the fact that he's, what, like 37, 38 years old now?
I was gonna say, wait, can he retire?
God, yeah, he should have pulled a Witt after last year. He got the Walter Payton Man of the Year
Award. 35
years old, and he's aged like fine wine, man. It's crazy. So he's having an elite season. He's got like a 90-plus defensive grade this year. But the stats actually back it up for Cameron Hayward, tied for second in the league amongst interior defensive linemen in sacks with 7, second amongst interior defensive linemen in PRP rate, and also leads the league amongst interior defensive linemen in pass rush win rate. The guy has been absolutely, he's been money for the Steelers pass rush or the Steelers defense in general all season long. And what really scares me is that he's going to go up against Cordell Volson and Alex Kappa, two guys that have been kind of reeling in recent weeks. That's a matchup that scares the ever-living piss out of me on Sunday. That's going to be tough to watch, I think.
Let's talk about some, if you want to try and find a, and I use positive in a light term. So when you look at it statistically, QBR is an okay stat. Like, it's a little flawed at times, but I think it can bring a lot.
They put too much emphasis on rushing in QBR, I think.
So opposing quarterbacks against the Steelers defense have a 76.9 opposing passer ratings, which is, I think, the second or the third best in the NFL. But when you look at this, And we can come back to this as well. And it has been it's why I think this Steelers team reminds me a little bit of 2020. In the fact of that record might be a little like, okay, guys, who you beat, who you played. I mean, Falcons, you know, you saw that first game for Kirk Cousins, you know, and I'm just going quarterbacks. You saw the second game for Bo Nix. Chargers, Justin Herbert, that's when Justin Herbert was hurt. You know, he had the ankle injury, and I think he was playing through it in that game. The Colts, I think that was Anthony Richardson. The Cowboys, whatever the hell they've been doing. Raiders, Jets, Giants, Browns. You can argue that they have played two offenses this season worth really anything. And that is two in the last 3 weeks, and that is the Ravens and the Commanders. And they did good against both of those teams as well. But it is interesting, especially when you look at their corners. Like, when you look at PFF grading-wise, you know, Joey Porter Jr. has been mid?
He's been okay. He's been serviceable at the cornerback position. He's not a lockdown corner by any means. He's not a Sauce Gardner or a Jalen Johnson or a...
He's
or
a guy that Jamar Chase should eat his lunch.
Yeah, I think Jamar Chase should be able to put up a good stat line against him. I think, or T.
And so, or either or. Because the other options aren't necessarily great either.
No. Now, they do have a good safety duo in Minka Fitzpatrick and Deshaun Elliott coming over from Miami. I guess that Miami is just a farm system for Pittsburgh Steelers safeties at this point. just a note there. But yeah, I think that... they've got a good safety duo. Their corners are still kind of lacking. I think that they're probably looking at corner in the draft this year as a position to kind of fill up. I think the secondary is probably the weak point of the defense. That the grading definitely shows that they're, you know, they're ranking very high in run defense and pass rush coverage. Not as much.
Bengals take on the Steelers at 1 o'clock on Sunday on CBS. Did you have any other defensive stats you want to go into some picks here to wrap it up?
No, let's do some picks.
Ian Eagle and Charles Davis will be on the call.
We always miss Charles Davis games.
I like Ian Eagle too. The referee for Sunday. Do you know who it is?
No.
Sean Hockley.
Oh no. Cal Adamias is going to get hurt. Calling it right now.
The Bengals are 2-3 all time. Their wins: Lions in 2021 and the Colts last season. Their losses: Ravens home last season, Chargers home in 2021, and the aforementioned Clark Harris injury game in 2022. So they're 2-3 all time for Sean Hockley.
Two season openers for us in the past 5 years. I didn't know that.
Just one.
You said Chargers in 2020, right?
2021. I might have said 2020, but I said 20. I meant to say 2021.
Oh no, I think you said 2021. We were
in 2020. Yeah, not great. Not great. The ruler of the jungle. We didn't get our predictions were wrong.
Should be NFL Hall of Famer. Should be Lamar Parrish. Modern person.
Next
year.
Not
in either. I hope so. Man. Like the dude has been. The dude had more. I think he had an all. He was an all pro in every season that he played here. I think it was close to that.
I think our ballot, unless they put like a Geno Atkins or, you know, or somebody like AJ, that on there.
I guess AJ on there. Not eligible yet, but yeah,
and I don't even think Gino is either, but unless they throw that, I think our ballot for the Ring of Honor next year is going to stay exactly the same of Lamar Parrish and Dave Lapham. I don't think that there'll be any discussion for that, but I'm excited to see Lamar Parrish. He will be the ruler of the jungle on Sunday for the Bengals taking on the city near West Virginia. Mick, it's time to make our picks of the week. Who you got?
Steelers 24, Bengals 21.
Boo this man.
You're only choosing the Bengals because you hate the Steelers. That is literally
without question. Without question. I'm going to go weird score. Bengals 23-16. Weird score. Weird score. 23-16. The Bengals defeat the Steelers. And yes, I've said this before. Listen, they can lose every other game the rest of the season, but win on Sunday. And I at least will be a happy man just because there is nothing. I mean, there is nothing in this world I despise more.
With me, so that's all I care about.
There's nothing in this world I despise more than that team. Like, it is there. I that's all I ask for. That's what I want for Christmas. I'm asking for Christmas, you know, 25 days prior.
Yeah. That's we got the Ryan Finley game 4 years ago.
And that was one that might be, in fact, that is my favorite regular season game in Bengals history.
See, if this season was over and we were playing these guys at home, like with two or three games left, I would love to just have them sign right. Ryan Finley for a game. And
Riley says Steelers are going to kick 8 field goals.
Oh, my goodness. Steelers 24, Bengals 21. All 24 points are scored on field goals. That's what I'm calling.
I think they're going to get 12 safeties.
12 safeties?
Yes.
Cameron Hayward gets 10 of them. If you guys are going to the game,
stay warm.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. How many over under on hand warmers that I use during this game?
What's funny is that I was at the UK game last night, which was always very difficult for me. Is last night, do you know who UK played, Mick, in basketball?
Yes, they played that god awful school.
They played the Fighting Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, my alma mater. Yeah. For one, two, I can ask you this because I was getting some crap from some of my Western guys. It was fully okay for me to wear a Western hat and a UK shirt, right?
I don't think they give a shit over there.
I'm a fan of both teams. Yeah, it's just the Western people were like, no, you should wear Western stuff. You went there.
Not, as long as you're not wearing a Duke hat and a UK shirt.
There were plenty of people that did the same exact thing as me. You know, I wore my big red eye hat, which is an elite hat. And if I had it sitting here, I would put it on for the final of this. But my dad and I had the conversation of, as I told him, I said, it's going to be cold this weekend. And I said, I guarantee that Mick is going to have a large amount of hand warmers at the ready.
Toe warmers. Toe warmers and hand warmers galore.
He hates being cold. And I told him, I said, at the last game where it was 55 degrees and we were tailgating, you broke out the gloves. And it is when we're going to be tailgating, I think 28 degrees. I think that's right. So it's going to be a chilly day. In fact, you okay?
No.
I mean, I'm looking right now. The weather, in fact, it's gotten better, Mick, for you. The high on Sunday, the high is going to be 29.
Oh, no.
So it says, you know, when we get out there and start tailgating at about, you know, 9 or 10, we're looking at about 24 degrees. No chance of rain.
What is it like over there right now? By the way, I haven't been here in town. Live there, but you live close enough.
Well, I can tell you that right now, just because I'm looking at the weather, today was a high of 47 degrees, and right now it is about 39 in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I've been dealing with 65 degree weather all week this week. It's been awesome. That's brutal. 30 degrees.
Yeah, not great. Well, you know, in the spirit too of Thanksgiving, we're obviously thankful for you listening as well each week. I know we've had a bunch of people who have become loyal listeners and so on, like Frank and Lisa and so on. And I don't want to start leaving Riley. People out. Riley, I didn't. Are we really? Yeah, are we really thankful for Riley though? I don't. Riley's almost obligated in some instances, but I kid. But we're thankful to you who have watched and subscribed and followed and given us a 5-star rating and so on. We've grown a lot in this last year, and we'll never admit to being the best Bengals podcast, but I don't think we're the worst. I think we're now the second worst, Mick.
Who's the worst?
I'm not naming the name right here. There's one that we can talk about. But
oh, is it Schubert?
Oh, we're third. You're right. I forgot. We're third. Yeah, no, I forgot about that. We're third. But yeah, we really appreciate it and hope you have a great Thanksgiving if you're watching or listening. You know what, Riley? That's a complete inside joke, but you've done enough to poor Florence. It has been a tough season, Frank, but we appreciate you joining us each and every week. And hope you have a great Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great Thursday. Have a great week. Enjoy football all day tomorrow, even though that they're all what a rough day of Thanksgiving games.
Yeah, it's Packers Dolphins is okay.
Yeah, the Bears Lions and Cowboys Giants.
Cowboys Giants is brutal. Like you're awful. Getting cutlets versus Cooper Rush. I'm going to put my entire bank account on that game to make it interesting.
Who are you all putting your money on?
All $5 in my bank account.
Be safe. Yeah, as Jungle Joe says, be safe. Call an Uber or a cab. Absolutely. Josh comes in here right at the last second. Who are you putting your money on then in Cowboys Giants?
Cutlets.
You're going to go Giants? But the Giants, didn't they fire what's his name this week? Dable? Didn't they fire Dable this week?
They fired Dable? Gone now?
I'm pretty sure that Brian Dable got fired.
They get the interim coach boost right there as well. Not only do you get the Tommy Cutlets.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe I missaid that. Wikipedia says he's still technically in there because that really wouldn't make a lot of sense to fire him on a Thursday week. Oh, apparently Cutlets, though, was limited today. So Drew Locke might be starting.
Oh, no. Cutlets needs to play.
Have a great Thanksgiving, though. Yep. We'll see you back here next week, hopefully recapping a Bengals win. And then we get to talk all the way about the Simpsons game. Bengals-Cowboys in Dallas as the next game. That game can't be flexed out. So until next time, have a great Thanksgiving and Hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.